Please, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, our text today will be verse 13 down through verse 22, the Lord willing. And I ask you a question. Have you ever wondered what the Lord could do with you? As you look at yourself and what you view to be your talents and your abilities, you may have concluded that you just really don't have much to offer Him. Perhaps you have yet to recognize the gifts which He has given to you. And perhaps you think that there is little that He can do with you. And from your perspective, you have no talent, you have little ability, and even less money. And so it is you ponder your usefulness for the kingdom of God. You might even have asked yourself, why did Jesus save me? Well, I would like for you to know, and we find it in our passage today, that the amount of what you have doesn't matter. Rather, what you do with it. Or better expressed, who you give it to. If you control what is yours, you're likely to do little with it. And if you surrender the control of it over to Jesus Christ, then He can do with it what He wills. And that means He could use it as it is. Or, you know what, He could multiply it beyond your wildest imagination. He could even possibly feed a multitude. Could it be? I think it's so. And I want to speak to you from this passage today. And of course, what we find in this story is the feeding of the 5,000. And that is the title of my message, The Feeding of the 5,000. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. And we ask that You just speak to our hearts and let there be no distraction. And may You just teach us. And Lord, that those of us who are Yours, that we might follow You, be obedient, be used of You, that we would surrender all up to You. And that You would use it for Your honor and for Your glory. And Father, we ask if there's any here today that is lost, that You would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, and grant unto them repentance and faith, that they might be saved even today. We'll give You the honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to think about the feeding of the 5,000. We have it in our passage before us today. And what we want to do is we're going to just basically look at the setting which is before us in verse 13 and verse 14. And then we're going to look at the service, which is expressed in verse 15 down through verse 22. So we have two main ideas to the message today. We'll spend most of our time on the second point, and then we'll draw a few thoughts in closing. So first of all, notice the setting, verse 13 and verse 14. When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Now, what's the setting here? What you have to understand, you glance up at the passage before that from verse 1 down through verse 12, and you'll see that there's the mention of John's execution. And so what we're looking at corresponds with the timing of John being executed and Jesus catching wind of it. And it says when He heard of it, He departed thence. And so John had been executed. However, there's something else that corresponds with this, and I'm going to invite you to turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 6. So keep a finger in our text and turn over to Mark 6, and we'll be going back and forth between these two chapters for a great deal of our time. We will be looking at other references as well in Luke and in John. But notice here in Mark chapter 6, still developing the setting that John had been executed, Jesus is leaving and getting away. In Mark chapter 6 and in verse 30, you'll find it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place for a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And so what happened was, this is the expression of the 12. The 12 apostles had been sent out on a mission trip. And they went out and did their ministry, and they had returned. And so right about the same time when John was executed and the return of the 12, we have these events that take place where they're going to leave, they're going to go out, they're going to try to get some rest and kind of refresh themselves. And Jesus tells them to come apart because that's just been so busy. As a matter of fact, if you look down in verse 31 of Mark chapter 6, a few points we want to mention in passing as we develop this setting and we see what's going on and how this goes on from here and he continues in his ministry. In verse 31, the last part of the verse, it tells us there, and we just read it, that they had no leisure so much as to eat. I mean, the people were coming and going. This was a very busy time. And sometimes, here's the point, sometimes ministry requires us to be busy. That's just the way it's going to be. And so sometimes you go, man, I'm just working myself to death. I'm always at church or always doing this and always busy and I just don't have a break. Sometimes that's just what happens. And so sometimes the ministry will just envelop all your time, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you also notice back at the beginning of verse 31 that sometimes the ministry requires us to take a break. Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart for a while and to this desert place and rest a while. And the lesson is sometimes you need to take a break too. And so if all you ever do is ministry and that's all you're doing, you never get a break, it's just hit it, you know what? You're going to burn out. You need to take a break sometime. That's why it's good for the preacher to get away sometime and go on vacation. And that's good for the Sunday school teachers and the song leaders. And, you know, all that you do as you minister and you labor, you don't want to get burnt out. Ministry will take a time, but you also need to take a break. But the truth of the matter is we see these things, and you see the two expressions here in verse 31. If you're still there in Mark 6, and I hope that you are, we're going to glance at verse 32 and verse 33, because sometimes ministry is going to take precedence. It says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They took off just like Jesus wanted them to do. They went in private, and people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. So you get the picture. We've got John the Baptist being executed, the 12 returning. Hey, this is a time you need to get apart, you need to take a break. And so they're going to a different city, going to a different place. They leave by ship, they don't tell anybody, but people recognize who they are, and they outrun and they all gather together. When they show up, there's a crowd already. Now, what does Jesus do when he arrives at his destination and they already have a crowd there? Does he say, sorry, we've already clocked out for the day, and ministry is over, time is up, come back next week? He doesn't do that, does he? What we'll see in our passage envelops what he does in response to the labor while he goes there. And the truth is, ministry is going to take precedence. Sometimes, you know what, as a pastor, I have to miss a meal. I don't like missing meals, but sometimes I have to miss a meal. You know, that's okay. It's not going to hurt that. Sometimes I have to miss kids' activities. That's okay. Sometimes I have to put aside some family things. That's okay. You know why? Because ministry sometimes will take precedence. Now, ministry won't always take precedence. If you do, you'll burn out, you'll lose your family, you'll lose your health, and so many things. You still need breaks. You still need to have rest periods. But sometimes it is, you know what? You just have to give up some of your personal desires in order to do what God wants you to do. And that's what we find here. A couple references here. If you would, go to the book of Luke chapter 9. And this is the parallel passage where, in our own the text of which we're dealing with, this is the parallel passage in Luke 9, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 11. It says, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. What did he do? They got to the desert place. They were going to rest. The people were already there. He didn't turn them away. He received them, didn't he? And he healed. He preached unto them the kingdom of God. And so keep your finger in Mark if you've done so, and go back to Matthew chapter 14. Here in verse 14, as we read those two verses to establish the setting, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And so again, ministry takes precedence. Initially, he left to get a break, to give the apostles a break, to recoup from the concept and the idea of knowing that John had been executed for the Lord's sake. But when they get there, what happens? They can't. The multitude is there. He has compassion upon them. And you know what? This is a reminder to every one of us that it really is good for us to care about the needs of others. It said in that verse that he was moved with compassion. Over in Mark 6 and verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw the people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And so go back to your passage if you had gone from there. Matthew chapter 14, you get the idea of what's going on. And they're now in a desert place, but everybody's there. He's preaching, he's healing. They need a shepherd, and he's going to help out. And they're going to minister. Now what we have is the feeding of the 5,000, which is encompassed in verse 15 down through verse 22, which is our text that we're going to cover today. And we're going to look at this a verse at a time and think about the matter of serving. That's what I place upon this passage, because as Jesus and the disciples were ministering, they were supposed to get a break, but they continue to serve. They continue to labor, and this is part of their service. And so we want to look at this passage today. And again, the idea, you go back to the introduction, it's the matter of what you have, give to Jesus Christ, and you'll see God can do great things with it. That's what we want you to learn as you go through the text today. So learn some of these things about ministry, labor, service, and what God can do with you. Pick it up then in verse 15 as we think about serving. And I read this verse, and the word giving comes to mind. Now, if you keep in mind the context, it'll make sense to you. Verse 15, "And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.'" And what I find here is, one, there's a lot of people. There's just not one or two. This is a huge crowd. It's called a multitude. We're going to have a numerical input to it a little later on. But we have here, I said the word giving. And the reason I say that, because it says, we looked at those verses in relationship to the compassion and his moving and his ministry, the healing, the preaching. It says, "And when it was evening," verse 15. When it was evening. You know what that tells me? All day long they've labored. They've worked with this crowd. They've ministered to this people. Not just a few, but a multitude. And when it was evening, it was all day long. It's really actually getting down to the end. It's past the time for supper. They've already worked through supper time. And he says, you know what? This is desert plate. The time is now past. We should have eaten a couple hours ago. We need to get rid of this crowd because, you know what? We're just flat wore out. That really is the idea. But they were giving, weren't they? And so that's what I find in verse 15. Go into verse 16. Well, they gave, but now they have to give some more. Here it is, verse 16. They're wanting to take a break. "And Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.'" Now, what do you think about that? Can you imagine? Has it ever been where you're working and you just really can't wait for time to be done? You're getting down the end. Time's up. Time to go home. Send this multitude away. The time is way past. We've already worked a little bit of OT. And God, I'm ready to give it up. And I need some break. And he says, "Oh, well, by the way, keep going. Keep giving." Now it's the matter of, they don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat. What do you mean? We were just getting ready to clock out, God. You know, they were ready to take the break. They were so busy that they had no time for leisure. That's why they came to this place. They got to that new place and this desert place, and they don't have any time for leisure there. They've worked all day. They worked very hard. They gave and gave and gave, and now Jesus says, "I want you to give some more." Sometimes that's going to happen, isn't it? Sometimes that is required of us. Well, notice in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 37, there's a practical response that they have. They've given all day long, and they want to get rid of this crowd so they can get some rest and get something to eat themselves. And Jesus says, "No, well, they don't have to go anywhere. You feed them. You give them something." Now, they're going to have a practical response to this, and this is as expressed in Mark chapter 6. And again, you'll need to keep a finger in Matthew. We'll be going back there. But Mark chapter 6, verse 37, "He answered and said unto them, 'Give you to eat.'" Now, what are they thinking? This is their response. "They said unto him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?'" Okay, well, God, now we understand you want us to give them something, but where are we going to get this? Are we supposed to just get this, you know, get the money out of the treasury, run down to McDonald's or go down to Burger King or go to, you know, KFC? Or what are we going to do here? Do we need to get 200 penny worth and go buy bread so that we can provide for this crowd? Now, that's a very practical response, isn't it? I don't fault them for that. That's good thinking. They're looking around. They got this multitude around. They say, "Well, how are we going to do this? You want us to feed them. What are we going to do?" Now, God said, give them, you know, you've been giving all day, but give them some more. Give them to eat. And their first thing is, "I don't know how this is going to happen. What are we going to do? Go buy it? Now keep your finger in Mark 6 and go over to John 6. And I know you got to have to juggle a couple places here if you can, but John chapter 6, not only is there a practical response from these guys, but there's also a pure reason that comes out of this. And I'm in John chapter 6, and we want to pick it up in verse 5. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that they may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he knew what he himself would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. Do you get the idea? Go back to Mark 6. Someone brings up, says, and I'm not sure of the exact order. It could be that the reasoning was first, that Jesus said, how are we going to feed them? And he said, well, 200 penny worth is not enough. And then somebody else coughed up and said, well, what do you want to do? Go get this 200 penny worth and go buy bread? But from a practical standpoint, they're thinking, how do we do this? Jesus, in their reasoning capacity, he said, what are you going to do and how are you going to handle this? And the disciples, they're not really sure. Now you go back to Mark chapter 6 and you look at verse 38. They do have a possible resource. Remember when we read in John there that Peter says, hey, there's a lad here. You pick it up in Mark 6, 38. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. So Peter goes out, and you know what? They go search around. They come back, and when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. So when they looked around, talked around, said, hey, anybody got anything that you can share? What's available? Well, we find out that what's there is a lad that, you know what? He doesn't have much. He really has his dinner. And so it isn't very much. Go back to Matthew chapter 14, our original text. And so what we found is we got to this place of service here in our passage, that they were giving and they were to give some more. But then in verse 17, as we just mentioned unto you in reference in the other passage, they had little resource. It just really isn't very much. Verse 17 of our text says, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. By the way, the loaves were not like you think of. They weren't the gigantic breads of loaf that you can get at, loaf of bread that you can get at Kroger's, you know. Even that wouldn't feed very many, but the loaves were probably, you know, about 6 or 7 inches in diameter, and that was a loaf, you know. It just wasn't that big, a kind of a good-sized roll. And so they say, well, what we have really is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they're small fish, according to the other account. There's just not much there. It's not like he's bringing in a tuna. There's just not much there. This is little resource. Now, so you got this in their mind. They've been working themselves to death. They get to the desert place. They work themselves to death all day. They're ready for a break. They don't get the break. Jesus says, give them to eat. We don't have anything to eat. Oh, how do you think we ought to feed them? Someone says, well, what are we going to do? Get 200 penny worth and provide them all. Jesus says, go look. And they went and looked, came back, and we really don't have anything. And you know, 5 loaves and 2 small fish just really isn't much to begin with, is it? I would imagine that just about any of us here could have that for lunch, and that'd be just barely enough. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. It certainly is not enough to meet the need. They're looking at a multitude. I mean, a number of people. It's not enough for one apostle. It was barely enough for the lad, I'm sure. And now they're looking at this great multitude. Jesus wants to feed them. It's not very much, and it's not going to be enough to meet the need. But one thing about it is they do have something. Now, if they had absolutely nothing, then God would really have to perform a miracle to create something out of nothing. But they have something. They have 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know what? I suggest unto you, dear Christian friend, you have something. You may not think you have much, and you say, well, what I have and my liberties and the talents and the abilities and all that which God gives me and the gifts that He's gifted me, it's not very much. Doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, He's not asking you to bring enough to feed everybody. Just, what do you have? What's yours? And so, there was something to give, and I submit unto you, Christian, you have something to give. You have something that God has given you, a gift, ability, talents, whatever, that you do have something to offer. And so you see that in verse 17, they came up, hey, there's 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verse 18, here's Jesus' desire. He said, bring them hither to me. Now, what is this? It was a great need. They don't have anything. They don't have anything to offer except they find this guy with 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he says, "You know what? That's enough. Bring it to me. Bring it to me." It's really the idea, I see Jesus just saying to them, give what you have. Give what you have. And you might be sitting there as a child of God saying, you know what, I don't have much money. You give what you have. You just give to God as you're required to do and what God asks you to do. You give to God. I don't have many abilities. I don't have many talents. I don't have any this. I don't have any gifts. And you say, well, I don't have much. Just give what you have. Just give what you have. I think I've told you before, but I'll remind you of this. I heard a preacher preaching many, many years ago, and he gave an account of a story that he had heard of a guy preaching in a high school, public high school. And the guy gave an invitation at the end of that presentation during the high school program. And the preacher was praying, and he heard roller skates. And he looked up, and he saw a kid roller skating down the aisle of the auditorium because he had no legs. And he was that's how he got around. His mode of transportation was on a board with roller skates on it, and he was coming down the aisle. And he came down, and he talked to the preacher, and he said, preacher, he says, I'm a Christian, and I want to serve God. He says, but what can I do? And it really didn't matter, did it? The preacher was wise, looked at him and says, you give all you have to God, and God can use anything that you have. He said, but I don't have any legs. It doesn't make any difference. You just give everything you have to God. And that's where it's at, isn't it? The desire is, give what you have. But it's not just give what you have, but you need to give it to Jesus. Can you imagine what would happen? This guy, you have this multitude, and we'll pick on Judas because he was the betrayer and he was a thief. Goes out to the lad and says, here, Jesus wants your 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he eats them on the way back. Well, that doesn't help anybody, does it? So it depends who you give it to, doesn't it? Your gift's given to me, I can't do much with it. Your gift's given to your spouse or your children or your neighbor or somebody else, you can't do much with that. You can't do much with your gifts. But when you give your gifts to Jesus Christ, when you give all that you have to him, if it's 5 loaves and 2 fish, you say, well, that's not much. You give it to him, he can do wondrous things with it. And so, excuse me, Jesus' desire was, bring them hither to me. He wanted those things. They need to be given to Jesus. And you know what? And I think about this. They went out and they looked around. They found that this kid had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what did they do? They came back and reported. They gave an account, but they never thought about saying, hey, will you give this to the Lord? So who still had the 5 loaves and 2 fish at this point? The lad still had it, even though it was there. He said, now bring them hither to me. Then they went and they got the 5 loaves, 2 fish. They brought it to Jesus Christ. And now this instance, you know, for the apostles, that food, the food wasn't even theirs, and I understand that. It's very hard for you to give my stuff to Jesus Christ. You have to give what's yours. And so you give to Jesus. And so they said, bring it hither to me. That's verse 18. Look at verse 19. What does he do with this? You've heard the story before. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. He ministered to this great, vast crowd, to the multitude. He ministered to them. Now, a few sub-points here to think about as we see that Jesus takes these 5 loaves, and he's going to meet all the needs, simply with what little they had. But look, think of this, when you see in verse 19, I find an element of organization. He commands these people to sit down in the grass, doesn't he? Now, you'll find this elaborated a little bit further if you turn over to the book of Mark chapter 6 and you look in verse 40. In verse 39, he said he wanted them to sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. This is Mark chapter 6, verse 39 and verse 40 there. Over in the book of Luke, let me read to you what it said in verse 14. Luke chapter 9, verse 14. They were there about 5,000 men, and he said to the disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. And so what do you see? You see some organization there. There's about 5,000 men that came to that's surrounded there. That's not counting women and children. And so he's going to feed this multitude. He has 5 loaves, 2 fish. And is he going to minister to them? The first thing he does is he gets organized, doesn't he? Can you imagine? Have you ever seen those pictures where the people are starving to death, you know, and these Red Cross trucks will back up or first aid trucks will back up, and the crowd's all around the truck, and they just get these boxes and they just start tossing them out into the crowd, you know, and they're fighting and tugging and shoving and pushing and biting and kicking and doing all kinds of things to get their box. Do you ever see those images on television? Can you imagine if Jesus was going to feed the 5,000 there plus, that he was just going to get that? Can you imagine just throwing the food out? Over there in the Boot Hill, Missouri, there's a restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. It starts with an L. I want to say Lombardo's or something like that. Anyway, they throw rolls across the room. When I went to St. Louis a couple weeks back, they said, "Have you ever at Lambert's? You ever stop there and you know they throw?" I said, "Do they really throw those rolls?" "Yeah, they'll throw them right across there." Can you imagine Jesus throwing the loaves across the, you know, just trying to hit them out there? You know, give me a target. No, it's all organized. They all sit down, don't they? In rows, in companies. You know, sometimes we go through the work of God kind of haphazard. Now, I don't put an overemphasis on organization, but you have to be organized. And that's what Jesus did. He said, sit them all down, get them in rows, and you have some organization. And you look in our text here in Matthew chapter 14, it says they sat down in the grass, he took the five loaves and the two fish, and what did he do? Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves. You know, I see here that there was a reliance upon heaven. Now, I say that in a loose sense, because when he looked up to heaven, he wasn't just looking at the skies and the stars and all that kind of stuff. What he was looking to is toward his heavenly Father, wasn't he? Looked up to heaven. His eyes were on his heavenly Father, and he blessed the food. You know what? Gave thanks for what lived. It wasn't much, but he gave thanks for it. You know, some people are so arrogant, they say, "Well, it's not very much. That's not even worth giving thanks over." You know what? Even if it's a little bit, you ought to give thanks, because it's more than what you had before. And he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks for that. There's a thankful spirit for what they have. Do you have a thankful spirit for what you have? Or are you always wanting more? You're not content and you're not thankful for what you have. It's just never enough. These guys, they didn't have much, but God was thankful for it. The Lord looked up to heaven, he gave thanks for it, and he blessed the bread, and then he broke it. And Jesus used this food to multiply this food, and he multiplied it to feed the crowd. Now, I don't know how he did that. It's a miracle. This certainly transcends natural laws to take out a piece and it be replenished and just keep dividing it out and keep giving it out and it keep being there. I think sometimes that's happened in my car. You know, I think I've been on E long enough. I think God just kept putting gas in it. I don't know. You ever do that happen to you? The dollar seems to stretch a little bit longer. Can't God bless those kind of things and make it go? Well, I know that as he tears these bread up and the fish up, it's replenished. He just keeps tearing off and there's some more. And keeps tearing off and tears some more. So he multiplied the food and he gave it to the apostles. And he used the apostles to serve. Could Jesus have taken care of it, all of it, if he wanted to? Could have. Could he have just called it all into existence and poofed everybody a well-made plate right there? I mean, you know, Nifoon divided plate, you know, chinette with all, you know, four-course meal and a dessert drink right there and a drink. And just poof it into existence right in their presence? He could have. But he didn't. These guys worked all day. They're ready to quit. He says, give them to eat. You know the story, right? Now, they have to serve these people. You ever serve 5,000? Anybody here ever served 5,000? You might have served a crowd, but I don't think you served 5,000 plus. These 12 guys have to serve all these people. And so he used these apostles to serve. He broke it out and gave it to the apostles. They took it to the crowd. They passed it among the ranks and the rows. And I wonder how long that would take. Any of you a mathematician, you sit down and try to figure that out, how long it would take for them to walk around and pass out all that food. And so they methodically reached the multitude. They gave all the food out. And you know what it says in the text? That they gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did eat. Over in the book of Mark chapter 6 verse 42, it says that they were filled. Verse 20 tells us that of our passage. And what I find here is the crowd was fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. There wasn't one person in that crowd that got up from that meal and said, "You know what, I'm still a little hungry." Not a one. Sometimes I'll get up from the table, and as soon as I get up from the table, I'm looking for something else in the cabinet. There just wasn't enough. And so what we find here is that they gave to the multitude, and they were completely satisfied. And then a few things as we finish out the passage. Verse 20, notice the responsibility that they had. And they did all eat and were filled. That's a wonderful thing. They were all satisfied. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. I think this is a matter of cleanliness, in my opinion. I think they're being responsible. They fed the crowds. Are they responsible for cleaning up the mess? If you go to have a picnic over here in the park, do you just walk off and leave everything? Or do you clean up after yourself? Well, I hope that you clean up after yourself. That's responsibility, isn't it? Jesus fed the multitudes here, and he cleaned up. They all cleaned up after themselves. And also, I would consider that nothing is going to waste. And so they gather all this up. It says in verse 20, they took up all the fragments. And the interesting thing here is there remained 12 baskets full. After they got all the leftovers, they only started with 5 loaves and 2 small fish, but all the leftovers was much more than what they had to begin with, and there were 12 baskets full. I wonder if that's what the apostles get to eat. I don't know. There were 12 baskets, 12 apostles, there were 12 left over, and I don't know if the apostles ate as they went through the crowd or if this was their they get to eat the leftovers. I don't know, but it's just funny that they had 12 baskets and 12 apostles. But they cleaned up after themselves. I see them being very responsible. In ministry, we need to be responsible. In verse 21, there's an amazing ability here through all this. You say, well, what's the big deal? So he fed a few people with some fish and some bread. Well, verse 21, and you've already seen the number in another passage, but it says, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. We often say, well, and the title of my message is The Feeding of the 5,000. That's really an incorrect statement. If the head count was about 5,000 men, by estimate, we would go to at least 10,000, maybe even 12, could be even more. But let's estimate 12,000 people. That's a lot from some little boy's supper, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they still had 12 baskets left over. Now, human reasoning says that's an absolute impossibility. That cannot happen. But it did happen. And it's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels for our benefit. It happened. And you're thinking, I don't have much. I can't do much. I don't have much to offer God. I want you to know that no matter what you give God, God can use it for whatever he desires to use it for. And if he wants to multiply that and feed a multitude, you say, that would never happen. It could. It could. You just need to give what you have to God. You need to surrender it to him. So we see that they are responsible. This is a very tremendous action that was taking place over 5,000 men. There were about 5,000 men, probably 12 to 13,000, 10,000. I don't know how many people were there, but a lot of people, much more than 5,000. And then in verse 22, the last thing is this. You know, you'd think after all that, it's time to give up and quit. You're just supposed to, this was your rest day. This was your day off, and you had to work it. Well, look at verse 22. It's still time to continue ministry. It's not over. Time to keep on going. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples and to get into a ship to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And so the work is going to continue. Now, they're not going to labor among that crowd. They're leaving. They're going across and across the Sea of Galilee. Other people will be there. Some of these might get over there too just to keep on following him around. But what you see here is, you know what, you ministered, you worked hard, but ministry doesn't quit. Still time to keep on going, still time to serve the Lord. And you have to keep in mind, though, and I'm going to make a reference to John 6. You don't need to turn over there. I'll read the verses to you. As you minister, these guys served. They had to serve some more. They gave. They had to give some more. They labored, and things weren't quite working out the way they wanted it to, but it worked out just fine and dandy. But ministry continues to keep on going. The interesting thing I wanted to point out about their ministry, over in John chapter 6, rather, and in verse 14 and verse 15, you know, not everybody's going to respond to ministry the way they ought to. Jesus feeds the multitudes here, and John records this for us in verse 14 and verse 15. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. You know what? They weren't this crowd wasn't responding very well. They heard him preach. They seen him heal. They knew about the kingdom. But you know what? When it really came down to it, you know what they were concerned about? their belly. That's all it was. Hey, we need to make this guy king. He can divide the food all the time. Man, this is great for our economy. And so they were going to come and make Jesus king by force. Jesus knew that. He sent the disciples away across the Sea of Galilee, and he sends out the multitudes away, and he goes up into a mountain apart to pray. Not all the time will ministry be received in the way it's intended, and certainly you understand that to be true. You might be doing right. You might be giving. God may multiply your loaves and all that, but people may not receive it properly. Sometimes that happens. Just realize that, but you're not accountable for what other people do. Then finally, I want to say to you that even after there was great success, and boy, what a day. That would have been a busy day. Great success, preaching, healing, feeding the multitudes. In Mark chapter 6, I finish with verse 46 where it says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Still, time to pray. Need to pray. And if we're going to serve, we're going to labor, you know what? We need to keep our focus. We need to be faithful. And we need to make sure that we just keep right on praying, because we're dependent upon God in heaven. So the ministry continued. That's the feeding of the 5,000. You got those points as it comes through, the setting and the serving of which we had, I hope, demonstrated to you. I say to you in conclusion, although it doesn't seem like much and it doesn't appear to be enough, just give it all to Jesus. Just give it all to Jesus. And if he desires to, you know what? He can feed a lad, or he can feed a multitude. Simply give what you have to him. You say, "But I can't do much. I don't have many abilities. I don't have many talents. I don't have many spiritual gifts." Whatever it is that God has gifted you with and God has given you, just give it to him. Just surrender it to him. And if he chooses to multiply it, he will. If he chooses not to, he won't. But you know what? You'll be blessed because you've done what you know to do. You've been faithful. You've given back as God has given to you. And I just encourage you to be used of God in that way. And if you're here and you're lost, you know what? You need to surrender. You need to surrender your heart to him. You see, as a person without Jesus Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're an enemy of God. And you know, you're already under condemnation. You're staring hell in the face. And if you die in that condition, that's exactly what will happen to you. And so what you need is the Savior. That one who can multiply the loaves and the fishes, he can save your soul. Do you know why? Because he went to the cross, he was crucified as a sinner, though he never sinned. He was buried and he rose again the third day. He ever lives at the right hand of the Father. One of these days he's coming back to earth to bring his people unto himself again. And I want you to know, dear sinner, that you can have eternal life. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so your need, you say, "Well, I want to give to him." Your need is to give him your soul. Bow your knee to Jesus. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then you can give your gifts, your abilities, and your talents to God. And God will use you for his name's sake. So if you're lost, we point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. If you're saved, may you be encouraged. May you be strengthened to be faithful. And though you might look and think, "I don't have much," what you have, God can use. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, that right where you are, you'd be challenged in your heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. That whatever your need is, as God speaks to you, you'd respond to that. That as a Christian, you'd be available to the Lord. Say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Use whatever you've given to me, and for your name's sake, for your glory." Surrender it to him. Give it all to him. And if you're here and you're lost, that you might be saved. If you need help, you come. If you'd like prayer, you can come. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you. We're here to help you. So you respond as God moves in your heart, and deal with God as he deals with you. Father in heaven, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do in every heart today. Bless your word. And Lord, may it be the work of the Holy Spirit in every soul today, especially if you would save the lost. And then, Lord, for those of us who are saved, that we would surrender everything to you, lock, stock, and barrel, knowing that you can use it as you see fit. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?